For those of you who are visiting, I apologize today because we're going to talk about a controversial subject. Some people say it's controversial. Some don't. They don't care. Tongues. Woo! We're going to talk about tongues. That can be as controversial as a chili cook-off in Texas. Cindy Campbell's going to do a chili cook-off with us in November for our Wednesday night meal. And already I've heard, beans or no beans? Oh my goodness, some of you guys get crazy about it. How many got to have beans in it? Whoa, no beans. Whoa, okay. We might have to have separate. Beans over here, no beans over here. Holy moly. Tums over here, no tums over here. Whatever. Well, we're going to talk about tongues. We've already locked all the doors, so don't even try to get out. We've got snakes in the back. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be awesome. We got to remember that this is about faith. And faith does not come by the hearing of the word of a pastor or a counselor or your BFF. Faith comes by hearing the word of God. So keep that in mind as we go through this, because I have heard some really crazy things on tongues. I've seen some weird stuff. And I am going to put humor in this so that we can survive. I've had people pray over me, and all of a sudden, the person that's praying over me in English, the other person beside me starts praying in tongues. I have no idea what they're saying. And there's one time all I heard was ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. I guess the Holy Spirit stuttered. I didn't know. And I'm just going to make light of it. And then one point when I was around a bunch of people doing that, and I could have swore I heard should have bought a Honda. And I thought the Lord was speaking to me. And I knew what he was saying then because we were looking at a Chevy. So from then on, if I'm speaking in tongues, it's going to be shit about a Honda. And there it is. There's my Lord, please don't hurt me. Please don't hurt me. And so we got to make some light of it because people get really worked up over this. And it's not something that we should get worked up over. We're going to try to take the fear out of it. And we're just going to talk about what the Bible says about tongues. And we'll go with it from there. We're going to start in 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. I'll be in the New Living Translation. And it says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the spiritual abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. For if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God, since people won't be able to understand you. You will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will be mysterious. But the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. I wish you all could speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying so that the whole church will be strengthened. Now remember, this is an answer to a previous letter. The only thing we have about the Corinthians is Paul is answering letters that they had already written to him. They had problems. I wish we had those letters so we could see specifically what was going on in there. Okay, now remember, this happens right before the love chapter, 1 Corinthians 13. So love, love, love. He starts off, let love be your highest goal. Do not forget that when we're talking about tongues and some things that maybe we're a little bit controversial on. Let love be our highest goal. And something else that he puts in there, he says that you should desire these gifts. We should be desiring them. I wonder how many people actually desire to speak in tongues. Some people are like, I don't know what it is. I'm just scared of it. I don't desire it. I don't want nothing to do with it. And a lot of that comes from your experience. And it's okay to be uncomfortable. It's okay. There's a lot of things in the Bible that make me uncomfortable. I don't want to love my enemies. That makes me uncomfortable. And then he says, if you want to be a member of Journey Fellowship, you got to take up your cross and follow me. Not Journey Fellowship, but just be a Christian. I don't want to take up my cross and follow him. There's all kinds of things that he tells me that I don't want to do because the Bible says that we're supposed to do that. If you want to save your life, you're going to lose it. What does that even mean? It all makes me uncomfortable. I don't like it. But that does not relieve us of our responsibility to try to understand it. you may be missing out on something very, very special. So tongues is mentioned about 30 times in the New Testament. It's mentioned as speaking in tongues or speaking in the Spirit, all that kind of stuff. I think it probably should be something that we should pay attention to, because he talks about it a lot. Then he throws in something really crazy in the middle of it about prophecy. Now, when you hear prophecy, what comes to your mind? So, you know, maybe the Old Testament, and maybe, you know, some people that I've asked this week said, well, reading the future. All these kinds of things. He made it. It's like the bonus fry that you find at the bottom of a McDonald's bag. It's right there. Have you ever been eating the fries? I don't care what you say. The McDonald's fries are the best in the whole world. Until they get cold, then they're like packing peanuts. But they're wonderful. I go through the drive-thru, I get McDonald's fries. I don't care what anybody thinks, and they're absolutely wonderful. And then you get done, and you're like, oh, I'm already done? And then you find the bonus one in the bottom, and you're like, it gets its own ketchup packet. Because it's so special. It's so wonderful to find the bonus one. We got prophecy in here. And he says, what do you believe about prophecy? Well, he tells you what prophecy is in here. He says, but one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. End of story. He says, I wish everybody was running around strengthening each other, encouraging one another, building one another up. What if that is what church looked like? As people came in and they said, man, you know what happened today? We prophesied at our church. Oh, you're a bunch of weirdos like that, huh? Not. We strengthen each other. We encourage one another. We build one another up. That's the biblical definition of prophecy. It's not scary. Man has made it scary because they perverted it. By this time next year, you're going to be pregnant. I just prophesied. Well, if you want to go that far, if they're not pregnant by this time next year, you should be stoned out in the parking lot. Who's in? Woohoo! Man, it's all fun and games until it gets real. But it's not scary. I want to strengthen people. I want to encourage them. I want to comfort them. And he says, when I do that, I'm prophesying. Look at me. I'm a prophet. I want to have that gift. You can have that gift. Get out there. Let the Holy Spirit lead you, encouraging one another. And you'll find out that we're going to have a lot more fun together. And then some people just go out, I don't believe in tongues, period. Well, guess what? My dad didn't believe in a microwave. He didn't. I remember the microwave come out and he goes, that's just a bunch of mumbo jumbo. Everybody knows you. If you want to heat stuff up, you do it in the oven or you put it on the stove and you warm it up. It didn't take him long to go, guess that the microwave is awesome. And he comes around to going, hey, I thought a little bit different about that. I thought a little bit different that it's not that scary. So maybe you don't believe because of experiences that you've had or seen, where men and man have gone in there and made it really, really kind of sick. And that's what was happening to the Corinthians. It's nothing new. Satan come in and he perverts it and he absolutely changes it. You know that tongues is God's idea? And it's a gift, something that he gave us. And from what I see in James, that he says every good and perfect gift comes from God. He meant it for our good. And so I believe that tongues is spoken of in the Bible in two different ways. One in a public setting and one in a private. Okay, and he kind of gives us, and we're going to go through it, don't worry. Be prepared to be confused. It's going to be fun. We'll work through it here in a little bit. And so in 1 Corinthians 14, 22 to 23 here, can get a little bit. It says, tongues then are a sign not for believers, but for unbelievers. Prophecy, however, is not for unbelievers, but for believers. So if the whole church comes together and everyone speaks in tongues and inquirers or unbelievers come in, will they not say you are out of your mind? Like I said, that all of a sudden you're just confused. What just happened? I thought it was for unbelievers, but then it says unbelievers are going to be confused and all this kind of stuff. Well, let's just pick it apart for a second. If you're inside the church, then guess what? It's for believers. If you're outside the church, it's pretty much for unbelievers. And we saw the example of that in Acts chapter 2. Do you remember that? In Acts chapter 2, they're out there and God, Jesus says, I want you to go to Jerusalem. I want you to wait for the gift of the Holy Spirit. They wait for it, and guess what happens? The wind blows and everything happens, and then these tongues of fire land on them, and they start speaking in tongues, which was other languages, right? Everybody there heard God being praised in their own language. There was no confusion about it. They were speaking in their own language in the wonders of God, and they ended up believing. So a bunch of unbelievers. Now, just because you say you believe in God doesn't make you a Christian. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, if you confess that Jesus is Lord, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. There's a lot of people that believe in a God. But the only way that we get to God is through Jesus. And so all of a sudden, these tongues happen. It was a different type of tongues. And they're speaking out there. There's no confusion. They hear it. Now, what happens? Immediately, all the unbelievers around them that don't want to believe this go, they're drunk. They're absolutely drunk. Look at them, weirdos. They're just sitting there all of a sudden just going off and just whatever, da-da-da-da, all over this place. And then they're drunk. And Peter comes in and goes, we're not drunk. It's 9 a.m. Well, some people start earlier than others. All right, you can't call it day drinking if it's after 5, right? So, and you just never know what's going to happen. So people have taken it, made it into something that you just do in public so that we can reach unbelievers. And guess what happens? It happened in the Bible. Everybody will think you're crazy. If you go out there and just start rattling off in tongues and get on the square and just do it, people are going to go, weirdos, alert, alert, alert. I know I would. I do it. It because that's not the way it was supposed to be. We kind of read it right there. It's okay if the Spirit leads you to. This happened in the early turn of the century when these missionaries went overseas, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit led them to speaking in tongues, and the indigenous people understood their language. So you know what they did? Let's go everywhere and just speak in tongues. And you know what happened? A bunch of them died. Because they weren't being led by the Spirit. It cost some of them their lives. We have to be led by the Spirit if we're going to be doing something like this. Other than that, it brings about confusion. Do I believe in tongues? Yes, absolutely. Do I have the prayer language? Yes, absolutely. Do I go out here? Are you going to hear me doing that in front of you? Absolutely not, unless there's an interpretation. If there's an interpretation, absolutely wonderful. God will bless it. It will edify the whole church. Didn't we just read that Paul said, I wish all of you could speak in tongues? Got quiet, really quiet. I mean, I've seen some of it. I mean, they thought they were drunk, remember? I've had it in certain life groups where I've been in before, where all of a sudden a guy who believes full-hearted, just everybody's supposed to speak in tongues right there, right then. And he just started ripping off in tongues right in front of our life group. And half of our life group just went, I have no idea just what happened. I'm confused. Why did he do that? What does it mean? It was confusing. I don't know if you've ever seen Bear Grylls. Bear Grylls, he gets all these famous people and he takes them on these adventures out in the wild. Well, there was one where this certain athlete gets out there and he's going along a cliff and he's scared to death. And he just starts ripping off in tongues. And he turns back to the camera and he goes, that was tongues for all of you who don't know what that is. I was like, you just edified yourself and confused about 4 million people. But he meant well. He meant well, but he confused a lot of people. Everybody was sitting there going, what just happened? What? That's weird. He's one of the weirdos. Like I said, I'm not against it. If I was falling off a cliff, you might hear some weird things from me. You might confuse it as tongues as well. So then in verse 27, let's look at that 23 or 27 to 28 on that 14. He says, if anybody speaks in a tongue, two or at the most three should speak, one at a time, and someone must interpret. If there's no interpreter, the speaker should keep quiet in the church and speak to himself and to God. There needs to be order. There needs to be order about it. And when there's order, then it's okay. Remember, they were having all kinds of problems in this back in the Corinthians day. They're having all kinds of problems. 1 Corinthians 12, let's look at 12, 28 to 31. He said, and God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Now remember, we're talking about in public. All of these gifts are public. None of them are private. He's talking about in your public. And if the Holy Spirit gives you the gift and it's a different gift there in public than it is in private, then make sure it's in order. It's not something to be afraid of. It was just something that happened there. And so there's this public gift. And let me tell you something. We don't look at the other gifts. Well, I don't believe in tongues. Well, you believe in prophecy? Yeah. When's the last time you prophesied? I don't know. When's the last time you taught? Remember back in the tabernacle, God, in the Old Testament, God takes the tabernacle and he gives each person a different gift by the Spirit to build it. And he said, that's a type and shadow. And all of a sudden in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit comes in and he gives us a bunch of different gifts. Can I tell you something? If you have the gift of healing, use it. If you have the gift of teaching, use it, please. There's a bunch of gifts that people have and they should be using them. There's nothing wrong with using your gifts. The problems they were having was that people were getting drunk during communion. They were using the good stuff. Maybe that's why we went to juice. I still think we should have shots on the bar for all the adults that are over. We can put the wristband on and all the kids get the juice. There'd be a lot more people for communion. We have a bar. I mean, it's beautiful. I got way off of tongues. Also, they had people getting drunk during communion. They had a guy that slept with his stepmom. It's in there. 1 Corinthians 5, I'll never forget it. And listen to this for a second. It's really gross. I can't find it. He says that they were boasting about it. He says somebody slept with their stepmom and they were just celebrating it like it was a good thing. And he said, so these are the problems that they were having. It's not much different than today. But as long as you're happy, just go ahead and do it. There's nothing different. But they also had these wonderful gifts of the Spirit. And as they started moving in them, guess what happened? Satan got upset. He said, I want to pervert this, and I want to get rid of this. And so he tries to get rid of it. In 1 Corinthians 12, 7 to 11, it's talking about all these public things that are given to you. Let me just look at it real quick. 12, 7 through 11 says this. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there's given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gift of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of the tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. The public gifts distributed by the Spirit as he determines. And what happens is if you don't have my gift, I look down on you. We're not of kindred spirit. It's the same Spirit giving everybody different gifts. And when we come together, we're more powerful. Have you ever seen when we get all the churches together out at Robinson Park? There's just something different about it. Everybody comes together and we are actually now representing the church in a better way, in a better light. All these gifts were meant to come together to edify one another and build one another up. Which gift do you have? Well, I don't have any. I'm worthless. Nobody's worthless. I mean, he talks about the gifts in here aren't very hard. I have a gift of encouragement. Great! I could use some encouragement. I have the gift of giving. Come on. Give away. I'm not scared. Give away. You got these different gifts. He says, why aren't we using them? We have beautiful gifts. One of them's in tongues in the public. And if there's an interpretation, guess what? We're going to be edified. It's going to be beautiful. And then in 1 Corinthians 14:39, just a reference, he says, don't forbid speaking in tongues. It just needs to be done in order. Is that me? I was speaking in tongues. I didn't even know it. And says, don't forbid it. He said, there's a place for it. Then let's look at the private part of it in 1 Corinthians. I don't know what's happening. Ooh. It's not my cell phone. Because I don't have it. All right. Ooh. Kind of creepy. Ooh. Talk about your private gift of tongues. They don't want me to. All right. 1 Corinthians 14:18-19. Ooh. Getting a little freaked out here. Listen to what Paul says.
Oh, man. That's a little bit. Ooh. I don't know. Did you hear that? Battery's good.
Testing. Oh, you're not stopping us, Satan, jerk. Private gifts. Whoa, we're making sense here. He doesn't like it. I guess. I hate Satan. He's a jerk. Okay. Paul says here in 1 Corinthians 14:18-19 here, I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. I speak in tongues more than you. Do you think there's a correlation between the greatest apostle to ever live, who speaks in tongues all the time more than all of you, by himself in private? But in the church, I would rather speak 5 intelligible words to instruct other than 10,000 words in a tongue. That could make an argument that the Holy Spirit is female, because that's a lot of words. It's a joke. It's a joke. Don't hurt me. It's going to be... And so 10,000 words in a tongue. He said, I'd rather speak 5 in the church with you guys to instruct you than 10,000 in a tongue to just rattle things off for no reason. And he says, hey, listen, I do it a lot. I love it. I can't believe how much that God uses it in my personal life. Don't forget back in verse 4, 1 Corinthians 14:4, it says, a person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally. Emboldened. You're built up. Who couldn't use that? Who doesn't need strengthened? Who doesn't need edified and emboldened? And then Jude 20, because there's only one chapter in Jude. I haven't missed it. Verse 20 says, but you, dear friends, by building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. It's right there. They're praying in the Holy Spirit, and things are happening. And then I found something awful, pretty weird in the past 3 weeks that just blew my mind. I didn't even think about it because each morning I've tried to put on the armor of God. Right? I try to do that every morning. Sometimes it's just a hassle in my head. I get up and I'm like, I don't want to put on the armor of God. I didn't even wash it. It smells bad. I don't feel like it today. And so I go through it with a terrible attitude. I put on the armor of God by faith, helmet of salvation, breastplate of righteousness, and I work it down. Got the belt of truth on. My feet are prepared, you know, for the gospel of peace. La, la, la. Who cares, right? I haven't even had some coffee yet. How am I going to put on some armor? So I go through that. You might have done that too. And then I'm reading in that in Ephesians 6. That's 10 through 18, about putting on the armor of God. I want to focus on 17 and 18 real quick of that. He's talking about putting on the armor of God. And at the end of it, in verse 17 there, he says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Then there's a comma there.
He's not finished. We have stopped it there. He says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. Have we really put on the armor of God if we're not really trying to ask the Holy Spirit what's going on? How many people have told me that they're praying for me and it's a bunch of bull? I can't tell you in the last 5 months how many people told me they're praying for me and haven't probably prayed a lick. It just makes them feel better to tell me that. You haven't talked to me in 3 months, but oh, I've been thinking about you, brother. I pray for you all the time. Well, that doesn't help me any. How about you call me and say, hey, I love you. I am praying for you, and I appreciate that. May get me through the day. And if you're praying for me, what did God tell you for me? Sometimes it's nothing. But I think one of the biggest problems is that we're just not praying at all. I've got my list, trust me. I'm talking from experience. I've got my list. And here's the people I'm praying for. And if I'm in a hurry, you may get mentioned. And you may not. And so I'm learning to do it on my walk or my run. And now, okay, Lord, how should I pray for my daughter? How should I pray for my son? How should I pray for our elders? Individually. And sometimes he has me text them and just go, I love you. I'm so thankful that you're part of Journey Fellowship. Sometimes that's all it takes. And so I'm not sure how much we're really praying because we're not experiencing all that much. And it's not that easy, I'll be honest with you. You try to take 5 minutes and I'm going to pray these 5 minutes. And you watch the attacks that happen. You watch the attacks that stop you from praying. It comes back to the same saying. Everybody wants to spend eternity with God, but nobody wants to spend time with Him. That saying sticks in my heart all the time. And He says, spend more time with me, spend more time with me, spend more time with me, then maybe you'll know the spiritual gift that I've given you. Maybe you'll understand it. Can anyone speak in tongues? That's the biggest question that I get. Is it for everybody? Yes. It is in private. In public, it's a gift that the Spirit gives as He determines. Paul said, I want everybody to speak in tongues. Do we know what that looks like? No. If we try to guess about what that looks like, you're probably going to miss quite a bit. The real question is, are you seeking the gift or are you seeking the giver? That's where I was messing up for so long. I was part of a church where if you didn't speak in tongues, you were missing something, and it was just you weren't receiving because your faith and all this stuff. And part of it might have been right, but they made me feel absolutely guilty. They made me feel absolutely like I was worth less than they were because I didn't speak in tongues, and I begged God for it. Please let me speak in tongues. Please give me the gift. I did it in public. I did it in private, and it wouldn't come, and they were just, you just got to receive, and I had this terrible experience with it. And finally, God comes in, and I'm not looking for any kind of praise. I was doing it just so people would see me doing it, and I would be part of their group. And God goes, you missed the whole point. The whole point is so that I can bless you, and that I can give you something that will strengthen you and help you along your way. And so all of a sudden, I get this, and I don't know what the answer is as far as, I've been praying for it, and I've been praying for it. I don't know what your answer is, other than keep spending more time with Him and keep seeking Him instead of the gifts, and He will give you the gift. As He sees fit, He will give it to you that way. It's just like salvation. It's between you and God. We don't determine whether you're saved or not. Only He does. No matter if you just came out of jail, I have met more people in jail doing Bible studies that have a stronger relationship with God than I have ever met in a church nearly. Because they're desperate. They are desperate, and it's amazing to see what happens with that. Here are a couple myths that I believe that are myths concerning tongues, and then we'll shut it down. A couple myths is one is speaking in tongues is proof that you have the Holy Spirit. I do not believe that. I do not believe that at all. The proof that you have the Holy Spirit is called the fruit of the Spirit found in Galatians 5. The fruit of the Spirit is peace, love, joy, all that. That's proof that you have the Holy Spirit. Some people are like, I'm not sure, mister. I don't know if I like you or not anymore. All right. Second one, speaking in tongues is the only way to know God's will. No. Now, do I believe it is a way? Yes. Yes, I do believe that it is a way that you can, but it's not the only way. And I'm going to show you scripturally so that we can look at this. Romans 8, 26 and verse 27 says, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And He who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with God's will. Now, that's one way. I have actually seen that happen when I was a youth director on two separate occasions. Watch where all of a sudden something happened, and these kids all of a sudden just started. They don't even know what happened. I don't know what happened. It was just, we just knew God was working in those kids' lives. It was amazing. I did not at any point deny what was happening there. It was absolutely wonderful. And then you have Romans 12, 2. Here's the way. That's a different way that you can know God's perfect will. It says, do not conform to the pattern of this world any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. Doesn't say anything about tongues. The other one does say about tongues. So if I don't have this gift of tongues, can I know God's will? Yes. Yes, you can. Like I said, this is a private gift between you and God. Unless we're in public, then the Holy Spirit decides whether or not He wants to give it to you as He determines. I think it would be awesome if someone stood up, ripped off into tongues, and then someone stands up over here and interprets it, and all of us are edified. Yeah. Woo! Yeah. I think some of us will be running out of here, maybe. I don't know what just happened. Oh, my gosh, it was weird. But at the same time, it was kind of cool. I think we'll know. But then what happens if someone rips off in tongues and there's nothing that happens? Ooh. We'll save that for another day. We'll take him out back. I tell you, no, we're not going to do that. I want everything God has for me. I just do. I want everything. And who wouldn't want a prayer partner who is available 24/7 and who prays the perfect will of God anytime I need it, who has all the answers? I want that. I mean, I'm in my truck praying from here to my house. I'm in my truck wherever I'm going praying from here to there. I'm just praying all the time now. I'm just praying and praying and praying and praying and praying, and it's just absolutely beautiful what's happening. Now, can I tell you this? It is not a salvation issue. There's no reason for us to be divided as a church over an issue that's not salvation. This is not determine your salvation. Okay, this is not a salvation issue, so there's really nothing that we should be worried about. The key of this to me is 1 Corinthians 13:1. And this is what they start off with as the love chapter, they call it. And he had just got in at the end of 12, he says, I will show you the most excellent way. He's talking about these public gifts. He says, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but I don't have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If you're around somebody that is freaked out about tongues and you rip off into tongues, you have not shown love. You're just a resounding gong or a cymbal. That's not love. He's saying whatever is about love, then that's what we want to deal with there. And he goes off into 13 about love is patient, love is kind. It doesn't say James is patient, James is kind. If you put your name in there, you will be seriously depressed. I promise you. In 1 John 4, he says that God is love. So what if we put God in there and we saw it as a description of God? God is patient. God is kind. God keeps no record of wrongs. God is all these things. Isn't that? That's so much easier than if I put my name in there. That's what it was meant to be, in my opinion. And if you want to know what salvation is about, it's Romans 10:9. That if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. And that's, we're getting ready to do some baptisms here. I'm going to bring up the Marie and them as we close this out. Baptism. This is an opportunity for them. This is an opportunity for these people. Next week, we're going to have three or four more at the river on 12:30, the Buckland family. That's going to be amazing. And we got some more. If you want to be baptized, please let me know. Let's get it done. It's a reason to celebrate, and this whole church wants to celebrate with you. It's pretty cool that a mom and her son are getting baptized together today. Next week, it'll be a family. It's going to be amazing. I can't wait. It's going to be great. So if you want to be saved, confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and you will be saved. If you want tongues, ask him. We got people here that are prayer warriors. And they'll be up here during this last song. If you want them to pray for you to have tongues, let them pray for you. But keep your expectations in the Lord. Keep your expectations in the Lord. I hope that when you go out there, you find your own prayer language and you pray with God like you've never had before. And he gives you something special. But you're going to have to make the time to do it. Other than that, it just doesn't happen. What would it look like if we're all out there and in our spare time we're praying in the Spirit and God's doing something there, and then we come in here and all of a sudden we're prophesying to one another after service? That we can't get people to leave here because remember what prophecy is? Words of encouragement. Encouraging one another, building one another up, comforting one another. We're going to have to get other people to shut this down because I'm going to get hungry. I want to leave and lock up the building. It's going to be amazing if we catch on to the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's going to be amazing. So let me pray for us. And then if you would, after this song, we're going to meet out back here. We're going to baptize Megan and Case. And we're going to celebrate with them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the gifts that you give us through your Holy Spirit. And we will let you decide who gets what when. But Lord, if Paul spoke in tongues all these times and it was a key to his personal prayer life, I want it. I want whatever you have for me, even if I don't understand it. So Lord, thank you for the gifts that you give us to build one another up. I pray that you take the fear out of things that we don't understand, knowing that we can trust you. And Lord, you've told us, trust in the Lord with all our hearts and lean not on our own understanding. In all our ways acknowledge you, and you will direct our paths. So Lord, we trust you today, and we thank you for Megan. We thank you for Case. We pray that this is just a beautiful, special day for them and their family and our church family as we celebrate that together. We love you, Lord, and we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please stand for our last song?
Oh, Lord, my God.